Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God and specifically about baptism. Baptism is one of the most common and widespread rituals throughout the history of mankind, and yet today it is one of the most misunderstood rituals of our time. And of course, back then, there was also a misunderstanding as well. And one of the things that I found absolutely fascinating is that Herod was baptizing people in Jerusalem. He was actually baptizing people all over the Roman Empire and linking them to the temple in Jerusalem. Even the temple in Jerusalem had a laver, a place where you could go and you could get baptized, washed up. And this tradition at least began at the foot of Mount Sinai when the people were washing up, getting ready for something new, changing over. They washed up. Even the ritual of washing feet. What does that mean? What are these rituals merely metaphors? If we have a clearer understanding of exactly what took place, what changed in the life of the individual who got John's baptism, as opposed to Herod's baptism, what were they doing that was different? John tells us, but I know almost no ministers who really understand what is taking place. They unmoor the ritual from the actual spiritual and physical events that are taking place, and the ritual merely symbolizes. We read in Matthew 3, verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So what was this baptism? Today, Christians say we have baptism. We have Christ. Then the Pharisees said they had Moses. They had circumcision. Those were rituals. What did they really have and what did they not have? Because here they're being called a generation of vipers. What happened when you got Herod's baptism? You were actually signing up for a system of social welfare in the local temple. And it was the tradition of Jews to baptize. And in our articles we talk about what this meant, the baptism in the Jews. Why were they doing that? It was a part of their traditions. Again, that's why they had a laver there to wash up before you entered in. But they were out in the Jordan immersing themselves and baptizing with water, washing with water, and something different. And we hear right in John the Baptist's own words, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share and do the same in meats. This was the difference, because this is what he was describing. They wanted to know about the baptism, and this is what he tells them. He wasn't saying, if you get completely dunked in water, completely immersed in water, and I do it in the name of the Father, and you come out of the water, then your sins are washed away. That's not what he was saying. He said, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share and do the same in meats. What was Herod saying? If you don't have a coat, come sign up. We'll baptize you in the laver or whatever temple that you come to, and we will provide you a coat when you don't have a coat. But you must pay in regularly under penalty of law. He made charity, he made your contributions a matter of enforced contractual law. It wasn't a matter of charity like John the Baptist. It wasn't a matter of charity like Jesus talked or Paul talked. It was now a matter of those who you were registered with would compel your sacrifice according to statutory limitations, and you would have to pay into this treasury, which of course Jesus later says, don't have faith in. Don't put your faith in these treasuries where men can spend all the money in your treasury or break in and steal it and devour it. Don't do that. Invest in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Be baptized in the kingdom of God. You go down and you make a commitment that if my neighbor has no coat and I have extra, I will share and do the same in meats. And this would give you fruits worthy of repentance. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to take, when he talked to these same Pharisees, he's saying, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to another who will bear fruit. How do you bear fruit? There's a fruit that is born in your charitable actions. In the Old Testament, we talk about free will offerings. All those free will offerings were not simply so that God could smell burnt up sheep. They were a part of a welfare system that blessed society, made you loyal to society, because there was your hope. If you got sick, you got injured, you needed help, you had this society where they were giving regularly and sharing regularly with those in a way that strengthened the poor. This is what Moses was setting up with his altars. In truth, this is what Abraham was setting up with his altars. And Herod knew that. But Herod removed one characteristic of Christ, of Moses. It wasn't going to be a free will offering anymore. It was going to be a forced offering. And it was going to go into a treasury, and people in the top would decide what you get back. And they didn't like the way they were doing it. There were riots at that time, the time of Jesus Christ, because they feared the governing agents of the temple, the money changers, the Pharisees, were squandering their social welfare funds. And they were depleting them away, like moths eating your garments in the closet. And you don't see it. They're in the dark. You can't tell. Is there any gold in the temple treasury? Is there any gold in Fort Knox? Have you gone the same way? You have your ritual still. You still dunk people in water. But when they come out, do they share their surplus with those that do not have enough? Their surplus in garments or in housing or in clothing or in meats, in food. Is that what you do when you come out of baptism? You've made this choice. Are you doing what John the Baptist said? Or do you just say, we have the baptism of Christ. We don't have to do anything. We just love one another quietly in the pew, in our hearts, but we're not with our hands. Not with our daily sacrifice, our daily ministration. Right away in Acts, we see the apostles setting up a daily ministration. What are they talking about? What are they doing when they do this? Well, we explain this in so many other places at hisholychurch.org, and we give away whole books on how this is and was done at the time of Christ. You see, Herod built another temple, the Temple of Rome. He didn't just build the Temple of Jerusalem. You see, because there were people who didn't have the Jewish rituals and customs. And he wanted to offer them a social welfare scheme too. By offering the people welfare and promising them benefits, entitlements, and they sign up for that on condition that they will pay in so much, a percentage, maybe 1.25% of what you make, maybe 3% of what you make, maybe 7% of what you make, maybe 14% of what you make every year will go into this social welfare fund. And your administrators will dole it out if you get in a car accident. I know somebody who was in a car accident the day before he turned of age. Both his parents were killed, and he was crippled, quadriplegic, for the rest of his life. He was going to get a check because this happened when, Social Security was going to pay for this because he was underage, minor, and he was incapacitated. And that sounds like a good thing, but it's not done by charity. It's not done by hope. It's done by benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. He had been baptized into the state's social welfare system. He didn't get dunked in water, but neither did any of those people who went to the Temple of Roma, also built by Herod. Now, if they wanted the benefits of Christ's ministers, who do not have the power to exercise authority, they cannot force your offerings. You can only receive the blessings of His holy church by faith, hope, and charity. The minister is a man of charity, not a man of force. He's not a man of power. He's not a man to exercise authority one over the other. He's forbidden to do that. He's a man of service. He comes like Christ came, to serve. And if you come in the name of Christ, you will also come to serve. And so baptism at His holy church, when you come out of the water and your neighbor has no coat and you have two, you will share and do the same in meats. You see, this is what the early church was doing. And they were persecuted in 168 AD and 200 AD because they would not join the welfare system run through the temples of Rome, because those temples exercised authority one over the other. And Christ said it was not to be that way with you. So now you know why there was baptism then. Why thousands of people were being baptized at Pentecost. Well, they were getting washed up and changing. They were following the ways of Christ. And we see in John that anyone who got the baptism of Christ was cast out of their network of synagogues that were funded through the central treasury of Judea. Same system was going on in Rome at that time. Those sacrifices that you pay in to those treasuries are called Corban. They were called Corban in Rome. They were called Corban in Judea. They spell a little different. They use a Q in the Roman language, but it's Corban. In the church, there was a treasury office, a treasury box in the church in the early days, in the first and second century. And they called it Corbanus. And what was it? It was where you put the funds to help out the needy of your society. Where did those funds come from? Through charity, through love for one another. This is why Christians thrived and survived during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. They were bound together, not by contract, not by oath, not by swearing, but by faith, hope, and charity. They were baptized in the ways of Christ and confessed their sins. And until you do, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.